Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists in a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got a real cool guest sitting on our couch. Came in from Waterloo.
For my birthday.
Of course.
What's your favorite rendition of birthday songs?
I told you, it's Stevie Wonder. I'm going to play that on repeat. Although I walked in here playing in the club, 50 Cent, but Stevie Wonder in the club. Yeah. My favorite birthday song is the Stevie Wonder one. I've been listening to that like nonstop today.
50 Cent hates Oprah and Stevie can see. How about that?
Stevie can see.
I heard that rumor.
There's a couple of people that talk about how Stevie can actually see. I'm like,
Who said it? Shaq?
Shaq said it. Shaq's story is hilarious though, because I guess they own in the same building. And Shaq came in out of the underground and he's already in the elevator. Mm-hmm. And then Stevie walks in and then he just turns to Shaq and looks at him and says, "What's up, big dog?"
Yeah. that's what I saw too.
Yeah.
It's like quite hilarious.
There's a couple other people that say Stevie can see.
Yeah, there was a few of them. I can't remember who it was.
There was one where I can't remember which musician it was, where Stevie was making his entrance onto the stage when the band, I guess, was about to play. And he beelined it straight for like the guitar player, the bass player, and then when he realized like the idea is he went straight to the guitar player or bass player to say, "Can you walk me to the piano?"
Yeah,
because he can't just walk straight to the piano from off stage, right?
True. Yeah,
right, because then he can see where the piano
exactly.
is. So he walked to the bass player and says, "Yo man, take me to the piano." But then he walked to the bass player or whichever band
was the
member
bass
was.
Player playing. Like, could it be argued that he followed the sound
on stage? Depends on what the stage sound is. So when a band's playing on stage, if you've got your big rig behind you, your amps mm-hmm. and shit, I mean, stage sound is really, really weird, where it's not what you hear at the front of the house at all. So out of the monitors, you ever see those little speakers they have on the floor, right? Those will have a mix from the soundboard of whatever that person wants in front. So you don't really hear the full band the way the front of the house does, the way someone mm-hmm. in the audience does.
But we don't know how Stevie would hear it. His senses are probably heightened.
It's like if we were playing on stage and I'm playing the bass, my sound might be coming from all over the place, right? So you might not be able to figure out where the hell I'm standing.
I'm trying to defend Stevie, but I actually think Stevie can see.
Why would you think Stevie can see?
I don't know.
I like how we're just calling the guy Stevie like we know him.
Yeah, he's like our best friend.
Mr. Wonder, how about that?
Call him up.
Call him. Just ask him straight up. Can you see?
Yeah.
Who else thought I think it was Dr. Dre said he might be able to see. I don't remember.
I've only heard Jack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a couple of people that were like,
"There's a possibility," or maybe he sees a little bit. Who knows? But I don't know. I still think Stevie
there's different
can see.
Types
I'm the
of
worst.
Blindness.
Well, you're right.
Right.
He might not be fully blind, he might be able to see a little bit, but I am the worst. Like, a little bit of evidence to something, like, this is why I'm the best person for like marketing and conspiracies. Marketing, it all works on me. Like, I am the most.
Conspiracies are funny
because you can make anything link together.
You take all these facts that are not meant to be linked together and you string them together. It's like, that sounds plausible.
My roommate in college was legally blind, and we were drinking one night heavily. And he's like, I'll drive us home. I'm like, what? But I was so drunk. I'm like,
yeah, go for it.
Why not?
If you're not drunk, sure.
He drove us home.
Oh, Jesus.
He legit drove, but he was legally blind. Right?
How much eye loss do you have
a little
to have
bit.
To be
I don't know. I don't know what the percentage is or... Yeah,
but
sure
you don't
that.
See enough of to drive people
no,
home.
No, definitely not.
No, sure. But he got us home.
Like, I wear glasses, and if I don't wear my glasses when I'm I wouldn't be able to see
the speedometer in front of me if I didn't have my glasses on.
No. Well, I'm not that bad.
I'm bad. I joke around with my kids all the time when I'm doing stuff in the car. They're like, "Oh, you should do this. I'm like, "What, guys? I'm trying to sleep. Like, leave me alone." They're like, "What are you doing? Open your eyes."
No, I'm not that bad. My eyes haven't changed for like 15 years.
You think they haven't changed?
No, I went to eye doctor.
I never go.
Prescription has not changed in like 15 years.
Really? That's good.
It's like minus 1.25.
Oh my God. I'm like minus 450.
I'm even worse than that.
Can you even see me?
I have contacts in, so yes, I can see
it. Like looking through Coke bottles. That's what my eyesight's like.
Yeah, his is worse than mine.
Wow. Like, you'd just be like a blob of black and gray color.
But do you wear them all the time?
I wear contact lenses almost all the time.
And you?
Yeah, contacts.
I see, from the moment I got prescription.
You didn't.
I didn't wear them.
Smart.
I wore them only for like school, if I'm sitting in the back,
yep,
watching movies or driving now.
Right.
But other than that, I don't wear glasses.
How I started, but then they just got worse and worse and worse. So no, I got to a point better. Where I had to wear them all the time.
Maybe we got to eat whatever you're eating.
Maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
He brought me donuts, even though he doesn't eat donuts.
All right, let's talk about who he is.
Let's do that. So, hey guys, it's Amanda, and it is my birthday, but we're not here to talk about me. That's for tomorrow. Today we have Chris here, who came all the way in from KW. If you're not from Ontario, that makes no sense to you. But I don't know. It's like what? Like an hour away?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half? Okay. Yeah. Not too bad.
Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge confuses the fuck out of me. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
Tri-cities. Yeah. Right.
No idea.
There's
what's
a guy on TikTok that talks about why it's the most confusing city.
Because it doesn't run on a fucking grid.
He shows how like it doesn't run on, like not even a little bit. No. I didn't realize how confusing those three places were until I watched this guy on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do you guys get around?
No, I did paramedic for a while. I had no idea where I was going. No idea where I was going.
You are not safe.
I cannot do this. I cannot drive anywhere.
He's like, why is my shift so boring?
And I needed GPS for everything. And I remember one time I put in the GPS and my partner there, he's like, it's literally like three blocks away. I had no idea where I was going. He's like, we're three blocks away. What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know where I'm going.
We've had to go out to Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge multiple times for like clinic shoots or to meet with other therapists. I think one time we went to CCMH before it closed. Like we've been out there multiple times. Mm-hmm. And every time we go there, we're just confused.
Yeah.
Like the time we ended up popping by your clinic when everyone was in treatment, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the whole place seemed dead, but all the doors were closed.
Yeah, yeah. That's treatment time.
That day, I don't even know how we got there. We literally just started circling. And I think at one point, Mark's like, hey, there's a... Oh, yeah, there he is.
Yeah, yeah.
We had no idea how to go anywhere.
Popped in and used your washroom.
I remember that.
Back on the road.
That's all right.
Well, let's introduce Chris. So Chris is a massage therapist, a clinic owner in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. And he was on the podcast virtually when we were all in lockdown.
During that pandemic.
Yeah, we were like...
Because
we were recording from our bedroom. That's when that started.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we couldn't leave. So this was during lockdown. You came on to talk about like the woes of being a clinic owner at that time.
That was fun.
I mean, congrats for keeping your doors open because many people that actually we talked to didn't keep their doors open.
Ooh. Yeah, the majority of people that we talked to.
During that time period, a lot of the clinic owners we had on ended up actually closing down. Mm. But you're still here.
Still here.
Hanging out. Let's reintroduce you because I don't know how many people heard that 2020 episode and I don't like to go back and listen to the COVID episodes.
Yeah.
Why?
I drank a lot while we were recording those. I don't make any goddamn sense. Nobody go back and listen to the COVID episodes.
Yeah, no, that was good. That was an interesting time, but
So let's hear a little bit about your background, how you became a massage therapist, and ultimately ended up opening a clinic.
Okay, so I got into university. I got into UW and Guelph, and I was waiting to hear back from Nipissing University, which is like up north, mm-hmm. More for sports and all that. But my dad actually he started talking to me, and he goes to me, he's like, I gotta tell you something. And I said, what's up? And he goes to me, he's like, I have cancer and I only have 3 years left to live. Mm. And I'm like, okay. So my original dream, not that I don't love massage therapy, was to be a doctor of some sort. Mm-hmm. Mostly either I wanted to go into pediatrician or sports medicine or something like that. So he did some research for me and he goes to me, he's like, you can take massage therapy. It's 3 years. So you graduate, then you can go back to school, right? You'll still be young enough. You can do massage therapy part-time, do whatever you want to do, and then go on with your life. And long story short, he ended up passing away a month before I graduated. Mm. So that's how I got into massage therapy. But it was never really like, I didn't grow up dreaming to be I want to be a massage therapist kind of thing, right? It just kind of happened.
Mm. Yeah.
But, and then I graduated, I started working. And I just stuck with it, right? I just couldn't, I didn't want to go back and I had other responsibilities at home to do, right?
Yeah.
Take care of my mom and all that. But I just kept moving forward. And eventually I just opened up my own clinic. I worked for a company. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but, or we can, I'm not sure.
Oh, let's not.
Let's not.
No, I won't. So I worked for the company and we grew it. I grew the massage therapy department pretty fast. And I asked for a raise, right? Everyone, you know, wants that. But everyone around me was getting bonuses from my work. I gave them my idea of to grow the company with massage therapy and physio, chiro, all that stuff. And they pretty much, they laughed in my face. They said no. And I said, okay, well, here's my 2 weeks notice. I'm out. And they didn't believe me at first. They thought I was joking. And I started True Health in the basement of my mom's house.
Wow.
And luckily, about 85% of the clients that I was that were with me there followed me. So I already had a good start.
When you quit, did you know that's what you're gonna do? Like I'll just do stuff out of home, or did you just like I just got to get out of here because you're not treating me the way I think I need to be treated?
I knew ultimately I always knew I wanted more than to work for just another company.
Right.
I wanted to grow with that company. So when they didn't allow me to grow any further and do what I wanted to do and to expand to the point where they could have made more money.
Yep.
It was just like, okay, well then I don't need you. I'll do it.
Right.
It was a struggle because there wasn't any social media back then where you can click a button and thousands of people see your advertisement.
Yep.
It was literally door to door advertisement. Yeah. Right. So doing free demos, like going to companies and doing demos and all that stuff, took a lot of time and effort, but it ultimately paid off.
Yeah.
So
So you started True Health just by yourself, or did you have
people?
Yeah. So for how long was it just you? And then talk me through like the expansion of this, like when you brought on more people. Did you bring in more people to your mom's basement? Or
no.
Is your mom like, who are these fucking people coming to my house? What are you doing in the basement?
No, we renovated it. Like I had a little reception area. Okay. I had a treatment room. But you know, it was just me at first, but I knew I wanted more. So that's why I didn't go with Chris Michael RMT.
Right.
I went with True Health and Wellness because I knew I wanted to expand it down the road. No, I didn't know to what, but I know I wanted to.
Yeah.
But originally, I was in my mom's basement. No one was there with me. So it took me about 7 or 8 years once I moved out of my mom's basement, which I was only there for a year or so, to really start hiring people. And at first, it was rough because I just hired anyone and everyone because you just wanted to look good, wanted to look busy. But I quickly learned that you can't just do that. You need to find the right people that fit with what your goal is.
Give me an idea of what the hiring process was in the beginning and what is it now?
In the beginning, I'm like, this is rent. Can you pay it? Yes, you're hired.
Are you RMT? Cool, man. Cool.
Yeah, I don't even care if you are. We'll train you if you're not.
If you just want to pay rent, go for it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care what you
do. You could have someone living in the tree.
At that time, I didn't care if they were paying me rent. I did not care, right?
Yeah.
But now it's more of like, kind of like a scenario that you get in an exam at school, right? Like, you have this going on with your shoulder or your knee. How would you assess it? How would you treat it? How do you rehab it?
What are you looking for in that? Like, do you actually care about what they're doing, or do you more look at how are they communicating? Are they doing any assessment?
Are they confident?
Are they creating treatment plans? And in other words, are you looking for it to kind of match with how you would approach that client, or you don't care about their approach? You just want to see what the interaction would be.
Yeah, I don't really care about their approach, but I do care about assessing.
Okay,
like, I don't think we should be treating blind, right? You know, like knee pain could be really a combination of stuff,
right?
You know, but in school they teach you, you know, do the ACL draw test, do the posterior PCL, MCL, but they don't really teach you like the mobility issues, right? Like, so I'll get someone to squat, right? If I see them going forward, is that a mobility issue? Is that why you have knee pain? Because like in the bodybuilding industry, one of the things they teach you is do not let your knees go past your toes for a squat, which will over time hinder your mobility. And then that could be just causing pain that way, right? So I do look for an assessments. I personally give everyone rehab, whether they want to or not. Most of the time they don't follow it anyways. But I just like that approach, right? Here's everything you need. The work is up to you to do it now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So, but yeah, I do look for that with my staff. Do I make them do it? No, because I think everyone has their own style of treatment, of therapy, of rehab. So I just leave that to them. I just want them to think outside the box why the knee pain is there.
Right.
That's it.
You keep using that word rehab. Would you say that's the type of clinic you have? Like you're looking for people who are focused on rehabilitation?
Yes and no. I like people that can are open mind, right? Like I can like show you how to do some stuff if you want to. I have one staff or two that aren't really into the rehab stuff, but just fine. They do their own thing. They do, they're still an RMT. They do other modalities and all that stuff, which people are happy with. If you're not rehab based, I'm not going to be like, get out. Mm-hmm. As long as people are happy and they're getting the benefit they need from the treatment, then I'm happy with that.
It allows variety to come through your doors as well.
Yeah.
Right? If you were strictly doing rehabilitation, then it's not bad to have that kind of niche and limit down like that. But, you know, it gives you variety mm-hmm. that comes through the door at your place. I saw on Facebook, shit, I should go find it. And I'm going to butcher it, but the general conversation, and it was surrounding things like home care and giving exercise. And the idea of like, if a client doesn't really want to, or do you think that it's still within your responsibility to prescribe remedial exercise or prescribe some sort of home care?
I asked them up front in the initial appointment, what do you want out of the treatment? Mm-hmm. If you just want a general treatment, you can go anywhere.
Right.
Right. People typically Google me. They know what I do. So if they're coming to me specifically in the clinic, then I know they want something out of the treatment. Mm-hmm. And this is what I do. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, I used to be upset. I used to like trying to accommodate myself to the client because mm-hmm. I wanted the business. But now I'm just like, this is how I treat. This is what I do. If you don't like it, there's another RMT for you out there. Mm. Right.
Do you think that an RMT just starting out, like how when you were in your mama's basement and you're trying to build your clientele, even though you had about 85% go with you, do you think it's important for an RMT to do that, really kind of cater to what's going on with that client? I mean, we should always be doing that anyway, mm-hmm. but there's an over the top try to cater to your client and where it doesn't even match with what you're trying to do or your philosophy on treatment. Do you think that it's important for an RMT to that's starting out to try to build their business? I'm like, I'm just going to try to make everybody happy and I'm just going to say yes to everybody instead of putting your stake in the ground saying, nope, this is what I do. This is what I'm good at. And you know what? Maybe I'm not the therapist for you, even though you can still give a really good treatment for someone that's not necessarily that needs or wants something different than what you do. Does that make sense? Did I make sense? That
yeah, I feel like I know what you're trying to say.
Can you translate that? I was all over the fucking map.
Yeah, well, I kind of get it.
I think it's important.
Let's try that in English now.
I think it's important for RMT to be who they are and to be as authentic as possible. And sometimes when you first come out of school, that is you. What I mean by that is you are the therapist that doesn't quite know what kind of therapist you are, so you'll try.
But
even if you
know what kind of therapist you are, but you're like, fuck, I got to make rent. And like, I'm not going to really kind of turn this person away
so yes,
or try
that's
to.
That's where I was going with that. Yeah. There's no, you don't have to turn someone away necessarily. Like when you get to where Chris is, where he's been a therapist for, you know, so long there wasn't internet. Sorry.
There was internet.
You're just dialing.
There was no Facebook, but there was internet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We've all been therapists for so long. There was no social media.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But when even if you know what kind of therapist you are, you don't necessarily have to turn someone away. Somebody comes in and if you're just doing what you do, then they also should be able to know right away whether it's a match. And it's not about just like you said, oh, I got to make rent. I'll still take somebody even if I like mm-hmm. in the beginning, I would still take someone even if I don't think that I'm necessarily the best for them. But mm-hmm. I'll be honest about this is the type of
exactly.
treatment I'm going to do. And let's see if it works for you. Because
yep.
sometimes also people think they know what they want.
Yep.
And then they come in and they see a therapist like me or like Chris or like you and they didn't expect that or didn't necessarily seek that out. Mm. But then they come for the treatment. They're like, oh, okay. I have the perfect example. There was a client that I sort of took over. He was seeing a different therapist and he ended up coming to me because the other therapist wasn't available. And I was nothing like her at all. We were very different in the type of treatments we offered.
Okay.
And after I did one treatment with him, I gave him the opportunity to rebook with the other therapist again. And he was like, no, this was kind of interesting. I want to see where you're going with this. Like, let me try that. And he ended up being a long-term client of mine, but he didn't necessarily think that there was anything wrong with the treatment. There was nothing wrong with the treatment he was getting from the other therapist, but seeing somebody else getting a different approach. So I don't know. I think therapists, when they're brand new, you don't necessarily have to like try to make everybody happy. Just do what you do. Mm. And a lot of people are going to love it. And the ones who don't, I mean, if you want to find out what they didn't like, do that too.
Yeah, you can ask them. Right.
Just ask them.
Do you want to know what people don't like about whatever you do?
I do.
Do you care?
I do care. Yeah. I care only because I want to better myself. Mm. Right. Like I'm not the best in pregnancy massage.
Right.
And I have clients that I'm treating.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I have one staff that's, she's phenomenal with it. So I tell my clients, I'm like,
go there.
Just go see her for this time frame and then come back later. I'm like, for me, it's just draping. I hate draping. Mm. Right. Like putting them in sideline. I'm like, just put on your shorts, put on your tank top and I'll treat that way. They're like, well, it doesn't feel the same. Well, I'm like, neither does me sideline bending over like this trying to treat you. Right. I'm like, I just can't do it. And, you know, when it comes to pregnancy for me, I follow the book completely. Like on the left side, we're not going to get you on your right side. Mm-hmm. We're going to elevate the hip because I don't want to mess anything up, right?
Yeah, you're not the dude for pregnancy.
I'm not the guy
Send
for pregnancy.
Somebody, and that's fine.
Right?
Yeah. You're the dude for the person who has like a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah, but that's what I like. And that's I don't like pregnancy. I'm not discriminating, but I just don't feel comfortable treating it.
Yeah, before anyone comes after him, he does have two children. He doesn't hate pregnant people at all.
I know how it works, right?
I know how it works.
But in the beginning, though, like I had, you know, I would treat almost any. I would say I was a shitty therapist in the beginning, right? Because I'll just see anyone. Mm. I didn't care what the issue was. But, you know, I use an hour. It's not enough time. Because you're doing by the books, right? You're so scared about everything that you're just following the routine of everything, right? So I still remember my routine from school.
Yeah. Right?
But that's how you get really good, I think. When you first start out, if you don't know, like there's some people who come out of school and say, I know I want to work with athletes, or I know I want to do palliative care, or I know I want to work with perinatal population. Cool. Yeah. If you don't know, I think the way you get really great is seeing a bunch of different types of bodies and seeing a bunch of different types of clients, and you start to really see what you're good at and what kind of like lights you up, where you're like, I like doing that. Like how you said you hate prenatal treatments. I love doing that. Sideline, I freaking love doing treatments in sideline. I am really good at draping in sideline, and I can appreciate how some people don't like it. They're not comfortable with it. I could do prenatal treatments all day long. Like,
awesome.
That's great. But I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
If a giant athlete comes in here, like I had a couple of bodybuilder clients way back when I first started, I would take them because they were, I think it was one guy happened to see me in the gym. This is when I used to be like serious in the gym and, you know, thought I looked really strong. So probably thought that I'd be a good therapist. I treated him a few times. He referred a couple people. I fucking hated it. I hated every minute of working on the bodybuilders. I hate, for one thing, don't even fucking touch them and because they're going to go, ow!
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I hated it. I hated it.
Big tough guys, but they're like softies.
Yeah.
Except for their muscles. They're really dense.
Really dense. Really I was like,
really,
okay.
Really hard on my elbows.
Yeah. So I'm happy to refer bodybuilders to anyone. Like, if a bodybuilder called me, and I wouldn't know that's what they are. Yeah. Let's say someone called me, booked a treatment as a new patient. They came in. Would I do the treatment? Sure. But like I said, I would do it how I do it. And they'd probably very quickly realize this is not my therapist.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And that
find somebody else.
I actually screen some of my clients now. When I see a new booking, I'll call them and ask them questions. And then either keep them or refer them out.
How often do you?
I'll be honest. Like, I will deal with every client.
Yeah.
But
like what percentage do you get rid of? Bad way to say it, but you know what I mean?
10%.
Okay, gotcha.
So I want to know from now, mom's basement
now,
how many people do you have working at True Health and Wellness, and what kind of variety of practitioners do you have? Because you guys are multidisciplinary now, right?
Yeah, we're strictly more massage now. We did some transitioning stuff a couple years ago, and I just felt like it's good just to keep with massage mostly because that's our scope and that's what we want to.
Okay, so you were just massage, then you went multidisciplinary, now we're back to massage.
Yeah, massage, and we have one osteo right now, too.
I missed like a whole era of True Health and Wellness.
With multidisciplinary, what did you have in there?
We had physio,
physio,
kinesiologist, and also a naturopath before.
Are physios a moneymaker? I feel like physios are a moneymaker.
They are moneymakers because they can treat 3 to 4 people on the go, right? They can run a class of just like, you know, anyone that has shoulder pain, come in.
Yep.
We'll just do a whole thing of shoulder routine.
And
right?
Doctor yeah. referrals, physio.
Everything's physio.
And you have like a whole
physio.
Gym. You still have the gym set up there?
I took it apart. Like I took it home okay. just to work out.
It's at his house now.
Yeah, it's in my house. It's actually my garage.
Okay. We got to come. I mean, we were supposed to do a clinic shoot. My bad.
Okay.
I double booked.
No,
we got to come do a clinic shoot because I feel like I don't even know what's going on with your clinic anymore.
I was waiting for that. I was going to get back to you, but I was waiting for you to get all my products in there first and then we can do the shoot, right? But yeah, we still have a few things to like renovate or, you know,
all right. Well,
clean
we're
going to
do it.
Bit.
I have a question about the physios then,
sure.
since you don't have one anymore.
Because I always suggest it to people that own clinics. I'm like, get a physio and pay them by the hour. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I don't want to pay by the hour. I'm like, pay them by the hour.
They don't stay, man.
Moneymakers.
But physios in general, they're used to making very little per hour, right? When I say very little per hour, what, 50, 60, 65 bucks an hour? Like, that's normal for a physio to get an hourly rate. And I'm like, go get a physio, man. Like, you can.
But you know what the issue is, though? How many RMTs actually own clinics that are multidisciplinary? This is the issue I had. A lot of people do not want to work for an RMT.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Chiros,
yep.
physios,
yep.
they like, no, you work for me. I'm like, you came here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's an issue I had. Like, I think we're just like, we're looked down on kind of thing. Like, we're like,
we are the bottom
third
of
tier.
The, yeah.
We're like, you know, there's chiros, physios, or vice versa. Mm. And then there's like kinesiologists and osteos. And then we're kind of sitting within the kinesiologist and osteo range.
Mm. It depends on the person.
Right.
That was my question actually about the physios is you kept talking about how, like, you as a therapist, you like to prescribe home care and, you know, you do a lot of rehab with your people and you said whether they like it or not. Did you find when you had a physio there that people were more likely to stick to a therapeutic exercise program if it was prescribed by the physio versus you?
Yes and no. I think a lot of my clients like trust what I can prescribe them. I myself have gone through a lot of injuries, so that's how I know to treat most of the things. But we didn't really butt heads on the rehab part. Mm-hmm. Some things were like, no, I think it's this. No, I think it's that. Okay, well, try it your way and see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think that we worked well together. It just didn't end up working well in long term, right? So, but again, it's what physio wants to work for an RMT.
Sorry, we
you're
going to
give us the breakdown.
Tangent, So what do you have going on now? How many therapists do you have? Yeah. And what? Do you have like different types of therapists? Like,
mm-hmm. So there's myself. I have four other RMTs as well.
Okay.
And one RMT is also an osteo.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of variety then.
Yeah. So we all do different things. Some of us do like breath work, energy work, which I don't know much about. Right. And the other ones are like general treatments. And then one of them, Natalie's more of a specialty. She's getting into the more sports stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And also now she does more of the pregnancy stuff. So anything pregnancy, I just refer to Natalie.
Is there a lot of crossover with clientele between the therapists or is it more like, I typically see this person. I typically see this person.
I'd say typically we have our clients.
Yeah.
If one of us gets hurt or sick days or I don't even know what those are, but yeah, you know, sick day means you just put on a mask now and go to work, right? Or even if you're hurt, doesn't matter, right? But no, I think we have our own clientele.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do the initial assessments for the most part and then divvy it up as I see.
Nice.
But yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting approach.
I like massage clinics that work that way, actually. I've said this before. I worked at a clinic like that. There were seven therapists, including myself. And the owner had been a therapist for a long time. The clinic had been around for, I think, 20 years when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't taking on new people, but mm-hmm. she liked having a variety of therapists that we all kind of had our thing that we were really good at.
Yep.
That way, when a new patient called, she could say, like, I feel like this would be the best person for
exactly.
you. And we knew amongst ourselves, like if I got someone that I was like, no, this is not a good fit, I would send them to this person down the hall. And I feel like we functioned really well that
and
way.
That's exactly what I have now. Like I'm happy with the team I have. You know, I'm not really good with rib stuff, right? I'm like, you know, oh, my rib's out of place. Okay. Here's the osteo. Go see the osteo, right? Anything pregnancy. Go see Natalie.
Yeah.
Anything to do with like, you know, breath work or energy stuff, go see Christine.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I'm just like, if you're hurt though, I'll see you.
Awesome.
Right.
Sweet.
Which, it's a good balance now, right? It's not like there's a a tier system, which I felt I had with having naturopath and having physios, and we're still here. Although I'm the clinic owner and I don't do physiotherapy. I'm not a physiotherapist, mm-hmm. but I like to prescribe rehab, yeah. right? Here's an exercise, here's a stretch. Let's combine them. Let's do this, right? But yeah, I like
with the overlapping scope of practice. You weren't working very different than how the physio would have worked, right?
No, I don't have like six people at a time.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
So yeah,
I like it.
One on one.
Do you ever think about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah? What do you think about? What are you thinking about right now?
I feel
now?
Like I'm on Jeopardy and I just want to press the fucking button.
Hit the button.
That never works out well. Now that I've been watching game shows religiously with your mother, do not buzz before the question is finished. Yes. You will not win.
Steve Harvey hates that.
There we go. Listen to Steve Harvey. Yeah. Do you ever think about how different your life would have been had you decided to go to med school?
Oh, my God. Even before med school, I don't know how deep do you guys want to get with this, but like, I was a decent athlete. Baseball was my dominant sport.
What position?
I played first base.
Sweet.
First base was my main position because I was lazy. But first base, second
is
base.
Is first base a lazy position?
Well,
it seems like you have to pay attention.
It's a lot of work.
Like a lot of work.
But I was.
Are you left-handed?
I catch left. That's the thing. So they like people catching right because you can tag people out easier.
Oh.
So I had to find a way to. But I was just really good defensively on first base. But I played first. I played short. Mm. I did a little bit of outfield. Mm-hmm. But my main position was first base. Mm-hmm. So I played all the way up until I was about 17. And throughout the years, and we won every year.
Yeah.
We had the same coach, Coach Mo, bless him. He took us, we had the same team year in, year out. And we won every year. One year we did not win, 97. Mm. Still remember it. We got second place.
Did you guys just see how angry he looks right now?
I chucked that trophy.
97.
My dad made me go get it. He's like, you'll appreciate this one day. Still don't appreciate it. One day I will. But I grew up very poor. So yeah. My coach kept telling my dad, you got to bump him up to the different league. You got to bump him up to rec or different, let him travel. But we couldn't afford it.
Right.
We had one tournament. I think we had a tournament in Windsor or could have been some in the States. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
I was young. And I remember everyone was so happy. And I slept in the car with my dad because we couldn't afford the hotel. Right. It was that's how bad it was. And I just stayed in house league. And then after I think I was 17 or 18, I just decided I'm done. But yeah. So I'm not saying I was going to go pro. Right. But you never know. Opportunities would, if someone would have saw me in the States play.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my first one All-Star game. I was the star of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember it. I had a grand slam. Double.
Mm.
I stole home and I stole second, and they walked me on purpose.
Right.
I was signing balls for kids. I didn't even have a signature back then. I was just signing away, whatever. so that's that. But for a doctor, I would have gone to the States. So I'm not sure.
Who knows? You could have been playing baseball. Could have been a doctor. Do you think you were meant to take this path? Maybe how random of your father? I understand his thought process, he wanted to be able to see you graduate but massage there, there was many things he could have chosen. Do you think there was maybe some reason your dad wanted you to take this path?
3 years and that's all he cared about. It was 3 years and it was medical.
Oh,
right.
Okay. He wanted to keep you in healthcare.
And I could have done it in 2 years. I could have gone to CCMH, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went there, and nothing against the school. I went there and they said, can you afford it? I said, yes. And they said, you're in. And I didn't want to take that approach to college.
But then you took that approach running your business. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. All right. This is fun. See you guys. But yeah. So at the time, Sarnia, Lambton College was the top ranked school.
Mm.
And Rick Overeem, he was also the president of the CMTO, was a teacher there. He was an instructor. So I'm like, well, if he's an instructor there, we might have some inside information on the board exams.
Inside
right?
information.
So believe it or not, he never did. He never really gave us any information. He's
I do believe it, man. The college is very, very locked down with information.
When I did my exams, I was I think the first or only year that we had the 13 stations.
Yeah, I was.
Mark,
did you have
that?
There were 14 stations. One of them was a rest station.
And guess where I started.
Oh, you started on the rest station. That's the shittiest place
I'm
to start.
You got to be fucking kidding me.
That sucks.
I started with the rest station.
14 stations. So 13, there was way different than it is now.
I don't even know what it's like now.
Now there is a client interview station, which we had.
Like case history kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. There is a treatment plan consent station, which we had. Yeah. There is one remedial exercise station. There's one treatment station. Yep. Yeah. There is one technique station. And there are two assessment stations. When we did it, there was more than one treatment station. There was a palpation station.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Palpation was in assessments for me.
Right, but it was really different when we had those 13 stations. Because palpation, when we did, so right now palpation is part of the assessment station. Mm-hmm. And so you're using palpation as an assessment tool, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's not an anatomy exam.
No, okay. we didn't have to landmark and travel.
Right,
and
so we did.
We didn't have to do any of that. When we did it, it was an anatomy station, basically.
Right. And you were just using the person on the table for their anatomy. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of talking to the instructor. It's not like how it is now where you're dealing with a client.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're talking to the instructor, how you're landmarking, you know, several structures away, and you're using your anatomical terminology to get to where you got to go.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about because the attachment sites, the actions, the nerve innervation. But that's not what they expect of a palpation in the assessment station now. But anyway, it was way fucking harder than we did.
It was horrible.
It's bizarre to me that it's gotten easier. Because, I didn't find my exam very difficult. I left there in tears, actually, because I just made stupid fucking mistakes. Obviously, it was fine and I passed.
Yeah, I felt
that,
too. But
I left there so mad at myself for just the stupidest mistakes. And I was like, that was not a hard exam.
Yeah.
There was no tricks.
Nope.
And I just fucked it up. Yeah. Like, I was just stupid.
I remember even, the written part was, a computer...
Yep.
Yeah.
We did a computer one and my computer just shut off.
Oh.
I don't know what happened. I was just doing the exam. I was about an hour and a half into it and all of a sudden the whole thing just shut off. And I'm like, I was panicking.
Yeah.
I went and got the guy because they said, do not get out of your chair. I'm like,
well, what are you going
to
do?
What am I supposed to do? Right. So I'm like moving my mouse. I'm like tapping buttons. I'm like, don't tap anything. Just don't hit escape. Right. Or delete.
Yeah.
Right. And the guy came over and he goes to me. He's like, oh, no, you're done. I'm like, I thought it was like a 2.5 hour exam. He's like, no, you're done. It's a percentage thing. Once you've got so many things right, then you're okay.
Mm.
But I'm like, okay. That's what maybe he told me. But I was an hour and a half into it and my thing shut off. And yeah, it came up that everything was like passed.
Look at you, smarty pants. You must have just gotten everything right up to that
point. Well, I don't know about that. I did. It's funny. I need a slight improvement. Because that's how they ranked us back then. You need slight improvement or whatever. Mm. And guess what section? Business.
That's only funny to the three of us in this room because Chris took our business course. It's so different now, too. We have totally made over that course.
Oh, I'm
but
sure
you took that course back when I had a baby because mm-hmm. Mark and I typically teach that together. And I know I only came to, half of one day or something because I had a baby.
Yeah.
You know, that baby is going to be 10 this summer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wrong baby. Even still,
six?
Seven.
Seven. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I've been taking courses from you guys for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. Good times.
Yeah, that licensing exam, that was because at least then when you did the MCQ, you found out right then and there if you passed, right? And then you're good to rock and roll.
I don't remember about mine. I don't think I found out.
No, you didn't.
Immediately.
You didn't.
It wasn't super long. Like, I've seen some things on Facebook where people are waiting months or weeks
now,
or whatever
now
for
that, now
results.
Now that Prometric does it, they have their set dates that they're giving results on.
Okay.
So regardless of when you did your exam, this is the set date. So if you did mm-hmm. your exam at the beginning of that block, you're not going to find out any information until that set date.
Oh,
if you did your exam the day before that set date, then you find out the next day. Right?
Okay.
So it can be really quick or really long depending on where you sit in that block.
Wow.
It's so fucked up though.
Things have changed so much.
The way they do the exam, the admin behind the exam
mm-hmm.
is horrible now. Because we do OSCE prep, there's people that I know that have to apply for special accommodations because they've got whatever going on.
Yeah.
They can't get dates.
Hmm.
So you know when we did it way back when, the CMTO, when they controlled the exam, they would produce the exam schedule for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And they say, go book your dates, go book your times and blah, blah, blah. That's not what this company does now. They open it up in 4 week blocks. It's so fucked up because you're like, I don't know if I'm ready, but this is the only window of time that I'm seeing that I can book my exam in. So you just pick in a date because you're like, I don't know when the next exams are going
to
be.
So you mean they have to pick their date and then apply for the accommodations? And if they haven't
No. Like, so I'm not even talking accommodations yet. This is just picking your, picking your date, right? Well, okay. So they'll open up, for example, the block from like May to like June or something, or May to the end of June. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, I don't know if I'm ready, but I don't know what the other dates are going to look like, so I guess I'll just pick something now. That's what everyone's been doing because they don't display what the whole schedule is like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you fail, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So you fail, you get noticed, you fail, and they send you like an email saying, oh, we've got more test dates for the next 3 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. So I have so many people that come in that failed once, and then they redid it again like 2 weeks later. And I'm like, why'd you do that? They're like, because I don't know when the next blocks are coming open for me to book an exam. So I just did it right away. I'm like, wow, it's so weird.
That is weird.
I think that's messed up more people in terms of failing than not.
Yeah, that's just another stress people don't need. They're already anxious because you're trying to study like 2 years worth of material. Mm-hmm. And knowing that for a lot of people I meet, and me included, performance anxiety is a real thing. I knew 100%. That I knew my shit. I was not scared.
Don't
going
even
to the
talk
Oski.
About special accommodations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when you and I did it, or even when the CMTO controlled the exam, they would have certain dates for special accommodations, or if you're doing it in French or whatever the case is. Now, they don't have those dates posted. You have to contact that company, and they, one, apparently don't get back to you really quick. Mm-hmm. And when they do decide to get back to you, they're like, yeah, we got a date next week for you.
Oh.
You're like, what the fuck? Like, I contacted you like 4 months ago. You didn't say anything to me. Now you're sending me email now saying there's a date for me in a week. And then if you don't take it, then you got to go through this whole process all over again. I know a bunch of people that they went through that for special accommodations, and hence they went almost 3 years without doing their exam. And they're like, I don't fucking know what to do.
That's
3 years. That's insane.
And then the college does nothing about it.
No.
Right? So
they've washed their hands of that.
Yes, because I'm like, contact the college and let them know this is what's going on. Then when they do contact the college response is, we don't control the exam. You got to contact the company that controls the exam.
When did that change?
It's been a few years now. I can't remember. But okay. I think the college needs to at least oversee the whole thing.
Well, that's what I mean. If the college is, in my mind, if they are, for lack of a better way of saying it, if they're contracting another company to do the licensing exam, well, if you recognize that things are not being done properly, then you have to step in and kind of demand that this company does things a little bit better,
or
do things a little bit different. They don't. They just want. So many times I've actually called the college on behalf of somebody else here, and I'm talking to somebody in registration services. They're like, yeah, we know it's like that. I'm like, well, like, whose responsibility is this then? Like, if you're contracting it out, and they're like, well, we don't contract it out. They don't like if I term it that way. But I'm like, the bottom line is, like, the whole decision to move it from you guys to somebody else is your decision.
Yeah.
So you should take ownership of that decision. And if anything gets fucked up, then you should take steps to fix it.
For sure.
It's a really weird go, man. Yeah. I feel bad for people that are in that boat, but
I guess it's good that we've all been therapists since before social media.
Yeah. Before. Yeah.
I love saying that today because for anybody who hasn't been listening to me, I turned 40 today. This feels like real adult. Like 30s was like, I'm adult-ish.
Ish, yeah.
Now I'm like, fuck, there's like no going back. I'm real adult now.
Do you think about like retirement plans and investments and all that?
Jesus Christ.
I know, it's so fucked up.
I'm just getting used to saying 40.
I know, but I'm 48 and I don't feel old, so it messes me up. Like I have
you look good, man.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You don't tell me what kind of lotions you use.
I don't.
Nothing. That's why. It's all fucking
natural
genetics.
Skin oils.
Oh, I'm like, I'm over here with my 27-step skincare routine.
100%.
He just jumps out of the shower and goes to bed. Yeah. I'm like, did you even lotion?
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Not at all.
No, I have a whole routine.
Yeah. Like I have a buddy, he was a buddy of mine in elementary school, and we connected over Facebook. I don't remember how, just like maybe about 4 weeks ago. And he's a pathologist in a hospital in New Brunswick. And he's always wanted to be a doctor since he was a little kid. And so we were just kind of talking back and forth on Facebook, and he's like, yeah, so, you know, now I'm thinking about retirement. I think I want to retire in the next 5 years and blah, 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 getting all this stuff for. I'm like, I feel like I'm 28. So to me, retirement just doesn't seem like something real. And this is a cat that's my age. Do you know what I mean? That's already like, oh, I'm thinking about retiring in the next 5 years. And this is what I want to do. I just don't think about it. I don't think about it. This guy.
Just win the lottery.
Just win the lottery.
Right. That's a good idea. I should probably play.
I should be a financial advisor. Just play the lottery.
You know, there's no
my financial advice is even better.
No, God, not this again.
It's because it's great financial advice.
I'll tell
advice.
You my advice after.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go find someone that plays poker really well. Mm-hmm. Give him a shit ton of money. And your deal is just double my money. Whatever you make above that, fine.
That's
whatever,
good.
Right? Just bring me back double
Why are you
my
encouraging
money.
Him? Yeah.
No, regardless of what happens here, because I just
I'm
want
gonna
double.
Get, I'm going to get in on this investment, right?
Right? Yeah. Here's 10 grand. Okay, cool. Yeah. Just bring me back 20. I don't care how do it. Just bring me back 20. Here's 20. Bring me back 40. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you win millions using my money. Just bring me back double.
There's a guy right now in KW. I heard on the radio today. He played like pro line or something like that. Mm. And I think in a $75 bet, he won $750,000 in KW. I forget his name, which I wish I knew now because I would have friended him. Right?
But, do you play the lottery at all? Do any lottery stuff?
You know
stuff?
What? I collect like Petro points.
Right.
And once they have enough points, I'm like, what can I buy?
You
that's
can't
what
even
I did.
Do that anymore.
You can't do it anymore.
Well, that's what I just did.
Really?
I just did
the
it.
The Petro's around us.
They
They're
told
like,
us
you
it's
can't
only
use your
gas
Petro
now.
Points for, you can't use them for, I got to go to KW because I got a billion points.
That's what I used to do is I'd let my Petro points get high and then I would just buy lottery tickets
that's
with them.
That's what I do. I just did it.
I tried doing that not long ago. And it was actually Mark who told me. So I asked the guy at Petro, I was like, can I use my points for like lottery tickets or whatever? I said, or was it just gas? He goes, just gas, miss.
Wow.
Yeah. Just gas.
Must be
we gotta go there.
A TO thing. Because in KW, we can do it.
Mm.
I just did it maybe a couple weeks ago.
Because I never play the lottery, but I feel like if I was to play the lottery, I'd feel like I'm going to win just because you never play, right? You're like, oh, I feel
like
I'm going to win.
That's me every time because I don't play.
You always start planning your life.
Every once in a while, I'll like get a feeling. So like I just get this feeling. There we go. I get this gassy feeling and I'm like, I better buy a ticket. And every time I think, and now because it's all digital, like because I can buy the tickets on my phone. I mean, I since I've had this app, I've probably done it 3 times. Like I'm not a lottery person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I'll get this feeling and I'm like, I'll buy a ticket for tonight. And so the last time that I decided to do that, it's just because I got this really strong feeling like, I don't know, I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to buy a ticket. So I buy this ticket and I think the jackpot was $40 million. Okay. And so the next morning I see I have an email from OLG and it's like, you're a winner. I'm like, what did I win? A free play.
You ready for this one? I went last week and I'm like, here, can you just, I had a bunch of tickets in the car. I'm like, can you check them? And all of a sudden it went, I was looking on the guy's screen and it said winner, you know.
And it makes the sound.
Yes.
And you I'm get like, really excited.
Oh, and then on the bottom of it, it said like $28 or $29 million. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Right. And I'm like looking at him. He's looking at me. I'm like, oh my God, I did it. And he's like, did what, sir? I'm like, I won. He's like, you got a free ticket, sir. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, sir, that's a screen for next week's play, winnings. But it was like the perfect timing. It said, as soon as it said winner, right? And then all of a sudden, I saw like the thing on the bottom pop up, 28 million. I'm like,
oh my God. For a split second, you were like, that's it. I'm a millionaire.
What would you do with 28 million? What would you do? You win the lottery.
You know what the sad thing is, though, man? I would invest it. I would just live off the interest, but I'd still work. What am I can't.
What the fuck is wrong with
everybody? I know, right?
Every fucking massage therapist that comes here says the exact same thing. I would work.
Let me give you, but I would cut down to like 2 days a week, right? Or maybe one and a half, right? I would like buy some properties for my kids down the road. And then I would just live off the interest as well. And I would travel. I wouldn't care so much. If people canceled, I'm like, whatever. No fee charge. People don't show up, I'm like, whatever. Wow. Here's $100 for you, right? Like, I don't know. What am I going to do at home?
Anything you want.
But the kids still have to go to school. What am I going to do?
Anything you want,
dude. I did this today. I'm here for a day. Hmm. What am I going to do? I got 1 day to myself tonight.
Do you have a lot of hobbies other than working out and going to work? I mean, family aside, that's not.
No, I don't know. Social media takes up a lot of my time, but
it's not a hobby. That's your job.
But, job that doesn't pay really. Yes. But other than
directly.
That, that's cool.
So that, That's what you just
I got some products from
you
him.
You need so. More hobbies. If you have more hobbies, you'd be like, 28 million, fuck work.
Yeah, maybe.
See, I get to sit around and play guitar all day long.
But that's what I always say to you, because you have so many hobbies. And other than going to work, hanging out with our kids, and going to the gym, what do I do?
Yeah.
What do I do? I don't have hobbies. I'm really not good at anything like creative or athletic. You want me to go play basketball? I'm going to break most of my bones. Like, yeah. I'm not an athlete. I'm not an artist.
Fucking nothing.
You would just, you know.
I'd pack it all up and be like,
and do where? Go where?
Guys.
What about your kids?
I wouldn't live differently than I live now.
Okay.
I just would not work.
Okay.
Right? And I would get all the toys that I want, that I ever think I want. I'd obviously take care of family and friends as best I can. And I would just do nothing.
No, I agree
and
with that.
And when I say do nothing, meaning I've said this many times, I would just do whatever I want to do in the moment and not have to worry about having the responsibility of doing something.
Yeah, no, I would definitely.
That's my goal in
life.
I like
that. Yeah. I'd help friends out.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
Family.
Yeah.
A few. Right. And the rest, you just live off the interest. Right.
I've already thought about this because I know he just would want to kick back and do nothing.
Nothing.
I've already thought about if I were to be the one that would win, I would make sure that before he could get any of his hands on the money, some of it was already taken and invested.
28 million.
I'd have to take some away.
You would have to really mess it up for 28 million.
How are you going to burn through 20? If
people
I live,
do it, man. Do you ever watch those shows?
Professional basketball players.
Well, I'm saying though,
have you seen them?
If I live the way I live now, like I ain't burning through 20. I ain't coming
and
close
to
burning
through 28
million.
And you know what? I believe he would. Like Mark is probably... I'm saying this in the nicest way because I know he's going to look at me like that makes me sad. But like the simplest person, like he doesn't need anything fancy. If we go out somewhere and like he could afford the $300 thing, but like the $30 thing is the same, he will always just buy the $30 thing. And even if I'm like, you know, it's your birthday or it's a special occasion, like get the expensive thing. It's why.
And I don't care about fancy
shit. Like
he's
super simple.
Yeah, I don't care about fancy shit. I don't care about a fancy restaurant. Mm-hmm. I don't care about a fancy ass vacation. Mm-hmm. I don't care about fancy clothes. I don't care about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I don't need a personal assistant.
Yeah. When it comes to me, I'm like that too. I really don't care.
Yeah.
But when it comes to my kids, I want to give them everything.
Mm.
Right. Here's like, my son's like obsessed with Sonic right now.
Yeah.
Loves Sonic. So everything's Sonic.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But like, I just want to get them the best of everything. Like I'll go to Walmart and just like, you know, grab some stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll go through the toy section just for him.
Takes forever in the toy section though, eh?
It does.
But it's fun.
I'm like, where was this when I was younger?
Yeah. Right? Or where was my dad that would roam through the toy fucking section for me for hours trying to find the thing that he knew I would really love.
Oh, good old days. Yeah, good old days.
Are your kids athletes? I mean, I know they're little still, but are they athletic kids? No.
No. My daughter she's got a good arm. My son he's taken after my wife. He just draws, but he can draw. I will show you pictures of his drawings.
Okay. So your wife is artistic?
She's an artist. She's an art teacher slash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a high school teacher. So
how did I not know that?
Yeah. She's a little arty.
Does it bother you that they're not athletic?
He did roll his eyes a little
off
bit.
Camera. No.
He kind of hoped deep down.
To each their own, right?
Dads always want their sons to be a little like them.
Right.
So like, I can imagine it was a little bit of a, when he's like, mom.
Yeah, it was my backup retirement plan, right? Maybe he's going to be the next LeBron James or, Michael Jordan, really, right? But after seeing him shoot, we'll keep working.
You seen that Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix?
Yes.
Last Dance?
I did.
Yes. He's a different human.
Yes.
Fucking human.
It's a generational player.
And I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
People think he's an asshole or people think he's a dick or, you know, he was aggressive, but that's what won.
Exactly.
That work ethic is what gets
you
to where
you are.
That's
all there is to it. It's like, I want to win.
Yes.
I want to win. And all you fucking cats are on my team.
Yeah.
And me winning is dependent on you guys fucking excelling.
Exactly.
You better fucking excel because I fucking want to win. Yeah.
And that's the difference between, I think, LeBron and Michael.
Mm.
LeBron will just go for comfort. He'll go to teams that are established, Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I give him the Cleveland one. I give him that one. You earn that one.
Yeah.
But the Miami one, the LA one, you pretty much formed a team. You didn't see Michael Jordan being like, I want him on my team.
Yep.
I want him on my team and I want him gone. You didn't see that.
Yep.
Right. So now that's the difference. And people now, I have this debate with all my young basketball players, all these young athletes that I have. They're always like, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. I'm like, you did not see Michael play. Damn. You did not. Don't watch these videotapes of Michael Jordan's highlight reel. You did not see the intensity of Michael Jordan play. LeBron now, okay, he's my our age, right? But, you know, he's slowing down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But he's still, like, he's very athletic. But when you spend, what, $2 million on your body a year, then, mm-hmm. yeah, you'll get there.
He's insane.
Do you guys think,
have you seen that documentary?
It was like, honestly, the cutest. I shouldn't describe it as cute, but it was the cutest thing. Yeah. I watched Mark walk around with his iPad and headphones for 2 days around our apartment. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, if he noticed that one of us were talking to him, he'd pause it. You know, if one of the kids needed help with their piano help with their homework, or if I was asking him to do something, he'd pause this. And then he'd go to me, can I go back to my documentary? I'm like, sure. Literally 2 days of him walking around watching this documentary with headphones.
He's fucking unhuman. You don't understand.
Yeah. I don't understand. Right? You watched it
he
on your own.
He always has. he's so fucking competitive.
And smart.
Totally smart.
Look what he did with the whole Nike thing.
Exactly.
He could have just easily taken the cash out.
Yep.
But instead, he wanted percentages.
Yep.
He wanted a stock, right? And now he's getting paid out like
crazy. You don't even know how deep it is, anyone that hasn't seen it, with the whole Nike thing. When the Dream Team went to the Olympics, all that Olympic gear was sponsored, I think, by Reebok. Mm-hmm. He's a Nike guy. He didn't even want to display because his loyalty to Nike, a Reebok logo.
So when
they were on the podium and shit, he wore the American flag around his shoulder just so he didn't have to display the logo because he was so much.
What a guy.
Any which way. He's insane.
The mindset, it's untouchable.
Do you guys think athletes are still like this?
Yes. They're the ones that excel like crazy. Like, he was such a guy, at least the way it comes off in the documentary, is if he will use anything to motivate himself to pull out on top. He will create shit in his head that you might have said that would have pissed him off enough to make him play better. And at the end of it, he goes, yeah, I made all that up. Yeah. Just so in my head, there's competition.
Yeah. It's the mindset.
Is that what you do when you're mad at me in the morning for no reason? I'm kidding.
Best basketball player ever, Michael Jordan.
Do you think most people agree with that? I don't know. I really like, I don't think I know enough about basketball.
I don't know if young kids would agree with that, but maybe young kids need to just go watch that documentary.
Maybe. Maybe I need to watch that documentary that had you like mesmerized for 2 days.
It was really sad too, man, especially the parts when his whole dad and his dad being murdered and shit. That was tough for me, man. Fuck.
Yeah, it was anything with dads in general for me. I don't know. The movie Jack Frost.
I've never seen it.
Oh man, that guy, kid's dad dies, comes back as a snowman. I'm like, that gets me every time. Yeah. And I'm not much of an emotional guy.
Yeah.
But every time I watch it, I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I don't know. But I think Michael Jordan is the best basketball player. Mm.
Speaking of things that make you cry, people think I'm pretty heartless. Not I shouldn't say that. People don't think I'm heartless. I'm not a person to show emotion. Like, Mark will say to me, like, watch this, it's going to make you cry, and show me a video. But I've just trained myself over so many years, I don't really cry in front of people. So I can watch something. And even if I feel like if somebody were to talk to me right now, I couldn't do it. I don't cry.
Yeah.
But this morning, you're probably one of the only people that ever actually see me cry.
The end of Gran Torino should make everybody cry.
I didn't cry at the end of Gran Torino. Unbelievable. Not because it wasn't sad, but because like I said, unless I'm like completely by myself, and I mean, you know, a therapist can probably work me through that, but I don't cry. And this morning, no, obviously not. I was watching a video and this literally made me cry. Rocky. It was this very old man, and the caption said he had been separated from his wife of 69 years for 3 months. I don't know why they had to be separated, but I got to like watch the reunion. I was like literally like bawling my eyes. I'm like, oh, this is so cute. Because he was like so happy to see her, and like look at, like, well, I can cry all, now. But
they're probably all a little senile, that's why.
Yeah, they're probably all a little senile. But I was like, droopy faces, sad.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Droopy faces?
Droopy faces.
Yeah, I started watching some guy on YouTube who he's an illusionist, but he's also studied body language insane. So he'll watch people's interviews and try to determine if they're telling the truth or if they're lying or they're showing genuine emotion and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So one of the things that I picked up from that is like a genuine sad face. Like your eyebrows will come together, but the but your eyebrows on the outside, they won't move. Your mouth should, corners of the mouth should curl down. Like generally your whole face is drooping, with the exception of right here. And that's how you can kind of tell. Is there
what if you have Botox?
Genuine. Well, that's, he was analyzing,
there you go.
He was analyzing American Idol, and there's this kid on American Idol who lost his dad in, like a couple months before he went on American Idol, and his dad like really just wanted him to go on to American Idol. And so he's saying this James Blunt song. If you're a crier, Monsters.
I have it. It's on my playlist. Right?
That's the video he made me watch. He's like, this will make you cry. And I didn't cry, so I'm sure he probably thought I was a monster.
Yeah, monster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's anything to do with father, son.
Yeah.
I don't cry during movies. Because in my head, I'm like, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to do this. I don't need to cry. My wife will sit there and bawl for the Lion King and all that. I'm like, first of all, that's cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, right?
I'm with you on that.
But I'm like, but anything to do with like a
father?
But
his dad dies in the Lion King.
Yeah, no.
It's different. It's animated.
It's different, though. It's animated. It's not real life.
Like Jack Frost is a real life?
That's different. I don't know. You're poking holes in this theory here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? No, you're right. But Jack Frost gets me every time.
Jack Frost gets you.
It gets me every time. I don't watch it. I just don't watch it.
I get it.
Yeah, so this guy, he was analyzing that video, because in that video, James Blunt looks really awkward. He's analyzing like why he might look like that. And then when they pan to the judges, he brought up Botox, because it was very clear that Katy Perry was like moved, but she didn't have the very typical sad facial expression. He's like, it's most likely her Botox. That's why her eyebrows can't come together the way they normally would. But anyway,
apparently, when I smoke a joint, I look sad.
Oh, it's fucking freaky.
So it freaks him out every time.
Unbelievable. We're smoking a joint, and having a good time, right? And I'll turn over 10 minutes later, and I look at her, and I'm like, are you okay? Because she's got like pure sadness face. Yeah. And I'm like, we realize now that's also her stone face.
I'm like, I'm totally fine. I'm giddy and laughing. And he's like, you look really sad. I'm like, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah, so like, I don't smoke weed or anything like that, but like,
you're missing out.
I had edibles. The one time I didn't know there's three really good stories about that. I'll just give you the one. I didn't know what they were. I just saw candy. We were at a cottage at my buddy's house.
Everybody has this story.
Kids went to bed. And I just saw candy in the middle there. I was like, you know what? I want to freaking take some candy because I love sugar. Take some candy.
You're like, why do these taste weird?
And no, they didn't. They tasted good.
Ooh, okay.
Right? And I had like a handful.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? A handful. And my buddy comes out. He's like, where'd the candy go? I'm like, what do you mean? I ate it. I'm like, just go get more. He's like, no, man, those are edibles. I'm like, how bad are they? Right? And he's like, how many do you have? I'm like, I literally have like a handful. He's like, oh my God, you're done. So anyways, fast forward half an hour, 45 minutes. My wife was beside me on the left and everyone else is on the right side here. So my wife thought I was sleeping because this eye was like closed. Yeah. Right? And then everyone on this side, I'm like communicating. I'm like talking to like, oh my God, right? And then my buddy ordered a pizza. He ordered like, I don't know, like four or five pizzas and they came and I just grabbed
you
one
ate
pizza.
A pizza.
I it's how I ate it. I grabbed one and I went into like the woods and I just started eating it. And all you would hear was like, right?
Oh my
and
God.
Then I came back and I just sat there and I'm like, just communicating.
One eye.
And my wife thought I was like having a stroke. Right. And she's like, and I'm like, no, I'm not. So I do the testing and all that. I'm like, I'm fine. Right.
But, I'm fine.
Oh, I just, so every time
super high.
Most of the time, I just like, I don't know that I'm doing it and I'm just eating it. So it's in everything now. Brownies. Mm. I had a brownie that like almost knocked me out.
A brownie did take me out, so I get it.
I thought it was having a stroke.
I don't mess with edibles because I don't understand them. I don't know what's too much. I don't know how long they're supposed to take. I like find myself thinking like, do I feel anything? Has it kicked in? Did I have enough? Should I have more? Yeah. No, I don't do edibles. No, not at all. The one time I ate too much of brownies because I thought nothing's happening. Yeah, you know, everyone with that story, oh, nothing's happening. I just didn't wait long enough. So I ate more and all of a sudden I was like face down and I couldn't move. Like I was
that's
stuck
how I felt
for like hours.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like in bed and I was like seized up like this.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what's going on, but
I slept on my arm. So then when I finally woke up, I actually like, I couldn't move it. I had to use my other arm to move my arm. Yeah. And I thought that I was going to have to like get my arm amputated. Like I couldn't feel it for a long time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's probably a tolerance to it though, right? Like if you do it often enough,
probably.
You build up tolerance, right? Which is what I mean. I don't do that. I don't drink either, right? So like if I were to drink, I'm sure like one
you'd
drink
be a sloppy
two,
mess.
But the thing is, though, I've never had a hangover. So according to my body and my doctors, I don't get hangovers. I've never had a hangover.
Lucky.
I think it's just the way my liver breaks it down or how things happen. But like,
what are you drinking when you're not having hangovers? Are you drinking hard booze?
On my 30th birthday, we were in Dominican.
Yeah.
We had the whole resort was partying on the beach.
Yeah.
I think I must have had like 20 shots, 25 drinks.
Yeah.
Whatever.
When I was in my drinking heyday, I would only get hangovers if there was sugar involved.
I've never had one, but I had sugary drinks.
Mm.
Right? My 19th birthday, it was a Tuesday. We were in college. I was one of... Well, the Tuesday night. Tuesday night, we all went out. We're like, oh, have a couple of drinks. You know how that works out, right?
Yeah.
And I was one of three people that showed up to class the next day. And my teacher's like, wasn't it your birthday? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel fine.
Mm.
And that's when I realized, I'm like, I don't know. And my roommate was just like... passed out, right? But same with my 30th. I got up at 7. I went to bed around 2-3. I got up at 7 a.m., went to the gym. And the bartender was walking by me. And I remember
he was also the guy that fucking works at the gym.
No, he just happened to be walking by me. He actually cut me off.
Yeah.
He goes to me and says, amigo, no more. No good. So he's walking by me. He's like, amigo, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm going to the gym. He's like, the gym? He's like, amigo, go sleep. Nobody. I didn't see anyone on the resort until like 11, 11:30. So people were just sleeping. And I was like, up and go.
That's a blessing to not get hangover. I mean, there's things you can do to prevent such a bad hangover. Like Mark said, if I were to drink things that are loaded with sugar, that's bad.
Yep.
If I don't hydrate, like I'm the type of person that if I'm out drinking, I will put water in the mix and I will drink water before I go to bed. I don't just like drink and then go to sleep. But I haven't had a hangover in most of my like 30s and 40s. I'm only now 40. Through my 30s, I haven't.
More night, right?
Yeah. I haven't really had hangovers, but all I drink is wine. Like I don't drink hard liquor anymore. So what I have learned, I don't know if this is good or bad, is I can drink an entire bottle of wine by myself and wake up like nothing ever happened.
Really?
Yeah.
That's practice.
That's practice.
Yeah.
You built it up.
If I open, Mark's not a drinker really. So if I open a bottle of wine, then I will just end up drinking the whole thing because he's not going to drink it. So most nights, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but if I open a bottle of wine, I'm drinking the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I get up the next day and I take the kids and I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine,
But I'm afraid to see what would happen if I went back to like hard liquor. I haven't done that in a long time.
Guess you'll find out tomorrow night.
I guess so.
Party time.
So tell me about all the stuff, all the courses and stuff that you've taken and how that's influenced the practice along the way. Because I see, the last thing I saw you post was... these things don't make you a sport therapist.
I'll tell you that why.
Yeah.
So last week I had a guy come to me, he's a bodybuilder, and he goes to me, he's like, my back is a little sore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. He's like, I had a sports treatment a few days ago. I'm like, okay. I'm like, why are you seeing me then? He's like, oh, like it just really, my back still really hurts. And like, you know, I have some shoulder issues and all that stuff. So I was recommended to come see you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool. Right. So I noticed that he was never really sitting back in the chair. He was always sitting up and he was avoiding touching his back.
Right.
And I said to him, okay, well, let's see what's going on. Let's do some assessments. And I just gently touched him. He's like, ah, it's like, it still hurts from my last massage.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, well, let me see like what's going on. Right. Takes off his shirt, literally cup marks like crazy and black and blue, black and blue, anything from C spine to T spine, just purple.
Wow.
Like bruised.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
He's like, well, he did cupping on me. Then he did like the scraping stuff. And then he did like, you know, elbows deep in there and then more scraping stuff. And I'm like, dude, that's not what sports therapy treatment rehab is.
Right.
Right. And that's why I made that video. But I got people are messaging me. I'm like, just chill, relax.
Ooh, right. Like blowback on that.
Well, I got some. Not a lot, but I got some.
Well,
right.
What was the gist of the blowback?
What justified you to be a sports therapist? I'm like, training, I guess. You know, like certifications, testing, actual results on people, right? Like not just like, you know, here, do this stretch and see how it goes kind of thing, right?
So tell us some of the training that you've done then.
Yeah, recently
what you like
I've done,
and what you don't like.
Well, I've done a lot of stuff with you. right? So
yeah, that does shit. You know. Well, tell us about the other stuff.
No, man, the cupping class was actually really good. The cupping course, like I said, I've done other cupping courses before,
yeah.
And I just didn't feel confident in doing cupping yet.
Yeah.
But when I took your course, that was like legit cupping. Like, here's the theory behind it. Here's why.
And he's he's very thorough. And I yes. mean, he'll always be humble, but yeah. I like your approach to teaching it because you go through like different conditions and different ways, yes. And you make the people that are taking the course like use their own
yep.
treatment style and approach to apply the cups. Like, mm. you're not like, this is how you do it. Like, yep. like Chris said, you kind of give like the theory behind it and what you're trying to accomplish and like how to use the cups. Now go put it into a treatment that makes sense for yep. you.
Mm. And I only recommend your course for cupping, by the way, but, cool. What was I saying?
Other courses.
Oh, other courses. Yeah. So
you got some high ticket ones.
Here. Yeah. I just did the FRC, which is the functional range conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that. I learned a lot from that one in terms of like mobility work. But I take FST, mm-hmm. which was good. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, they have their own style, unique way of doing things. But it's
level one.
Yeah, I just did level one. Yeah. I personally don't think I'll be going any further than that.
Yeah.
Because they want you to like renew your certification. Apparently, it's only good for about a year or two.
Right.
And then you forget everything. Apparently, and then you get to retest or mm-hmm. re-watch a video of them doing it and pay, I don't know, $300-$400 American, whatever it is, to recertify. Yeah. And I was talking to the lady on the phone. I said to her, I'm like as a RMT. This is another tool. I don't know like why I need to renew to do FST kind of thing. And she's like, well, if you don't want to renew, then you can't use the title FST mm-hmm. therapist. And I'm like, I already have a title and I don't really care about the FST title. So they make it seem like you just got to keep, I'm not going to do this every 2 years. I'm not going to watch your videos for like 3 hours.
You have the knowledge, you have the techniques, you can incorporate them. It's stretching.
Right. So for personal trainers, I think it's fantastic because that's really their only hands-on tool that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's just another tool that we can use.
Yep.
Right.
I get it.
So that was the whole thing with FST. But yeah, FRC was amazing. Learned some stuff there. I'm going to take your Shockwave course. I think it's coming up in May.
Yep.
Something like May. That.
Yeah. I want that course. But I did the ultrasound course with you. Just things I can apply in the clinic. And again, this stuff does not make me a sports therapist.
Right.
You know, using a Theragun on people's thighs or whatever doesn't make me a sports therapist. And I get a lot of people telling me, what's a good Theragun to use mm-hmm. for myself? And I'm trying to tell them, like, do you know what percussion therapy is?
Mm.
No. Okay. That's what that is. Mm. It's pretty much tapotement, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Which in our world, we kind of use this pre-event, mm-hmm. right? So show me how that gets rid of a knot.
Mm.
You know, any kind of stimulation, muscle flow, blood flow is beneficial. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you do something than nothing. But that's not really going to get rid of your knot nor fix your issues if you have structural biomechanical issues. And that's why I try and tell people, like, don't believe everything you see on social media doing. And you know what, I'm guilty for this too sometimes, because you just get wrapped up into the social media and you want to get the likes, the followers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the content out there. But a lot of the stuff is like, doing this shoulder movement isn't going to fix 10 years of impingement movements, right? So that you see a lot of that stuff. So I just tell people, like, take everything you see on social media with a grain of salt,
mm-hmm.
and use it, but also use other forms of treatment as well to get to the results that you want to get to.
Who's your social media targeting? Like, we run different types of businesses, so
yeah.
our social media is not meant to target clients or anything like that,
yeah.
right? So is yours intended to target clients? Is it intended to target other therapists?
I want to more educate people.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things that I'm working on for the future, but my objective of my social media is that you can go on there, you can have a good laugh,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, if you are having pain, and I feel like if you actually I've had chronic pain, like I've had lower back injuries, I've had knee injuries, I've had tears in both my biceps are torn,
mm-hmm.
like partial tears. I had shoulder issues. I've rehabbed myself through the majority of my injuries, so I understand what it takes
mm-hmm.
to get to that root source, right? And I feel like a lot of people on social media are just trying to find a quick fix,
mm.
and that's just not the case.
It's really funny to me, therapists and their social media accounts, because I'm really curious as to who they talk. I'll give you a couple examples. Do you wake up in the morning and roll over and say, I got to go see what that therapist is posting today about stretching? Like, probably not many people do that. Exactly. Like, do you see what I'm saying? It's like, like, for example, go onto Red Bull's Instagram. There's nothing about drinks there. There's like, there's nothing about products there. It's all about extreme behavior, extreme sports, extreme this, extreme. So it's like, you wake up in the morning and you want to, let me go check out the Red Bull page. But I'm not rolling over in the morning going, let me go see what Susie RMT is putting down for stretches today. It's a weird go.
Some people unless you're in pain.
Possibly.
Unless you're in pain.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a friend who's a personal trainer, and she kind of took a hiatus for a couple of years because she's got a farm full of children, but she's been recently back online, and I've been watching some of the exercises she's posting, and a couple of them that I'm like, I like this, I'm saving the post so that I can go back and look, so I'm like, I would incorporate this into my workout. And so I think there's probably people with somebody like her who's just like posting free valuable content, like, hey, are you somebody that wants to strengthen your hamstrings? Try this easy at home exercise. That's kind of the idea.
That's why I wanted to know, like, who's your target? Because I think a lot of therapists miss the idea of who they're actually trying to target with their socials. And they're just kind of going with the flow of what they see other therapists doing. And I'm like, you can probably have some sort of strategy here that might lead you down a slightly different road. But I think you need to stop and sit back and just kind of create some sort of strategy.
You got to ask yourself, who are you talking to?
Who am I trying to target?
Because there's some that I see that are really, really good. Like, I feel like they are speaking to clients. I mean, hopefully that's what they want to do. And yeah, there's some that I see where I'm like, do clients care about this, but maybe you're not talking to clients, so
I don't know. For me, I just want, like, generally if you're in pain, I want someone to be like, my back hurts. Oh, Chris had a back injury, let's see what he did for his back injury. Right? So I'm not really specifically being like, I want only athletes or I want only office workers. Like, I have if you look at my Instagram, like, I have a variety of things on there, right? If you sit all day, do this. If you have this kind of injury, you do this. And again, people message me all the time. And sometimes I have different languages and I don't even know what they're talking about. And they're like, right? I'm like, I'm from Canada, bro. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not going to Google translate this, right? And I tell them, like, you know, you can use whatever I've given on social media as a starting point, but you got to go and get it assessed. I don't care if it's with me. Just go to see any healthcare professional and get it assessed, because I don't really know what's going on with your knee or your shoulder without assessing you. So I'm not going to design you a program without knowing what's going on. Because I have a specific step routine of how I rehab people through mobility, and like, when to do mobility, when to do rehab, when to do stretching, when to do exercises. It's a specific routine that I use for myself that benefited me. And also I use for clients that said, hey, man, that really worked. I'm sorry for doubting you. Right? 'Cause at first, it's very basic. Right, like, my routine's very basic, and then I just advance it from there.
I gotta ask, for people who were not happy with your post about the sport therapist, one, because a sport therapist isn't even a title, I'm not really sure what they're mad at. But it's bizarre to me that somebody would get upset by that, because I don't feel like you were necessarily attacking or targeting any. I did see that post, and you just said, like, doing this doesn't make you a sport therapist. And I think I understood your intent, which is like, you have to actually get training and to be able to work with certain populations. Like, I understood it. The people that were getting upset, if they are truly confident in their practices and their skills and their education, why would they even feel the need to message
you? I don't know. I don't know. What? Right. Yeah. I'm like, at first,
get so mad.
People are, it's
funny.
They're so, like,
people get so mad.
So emotional.
It's always interesting to me when somebody so emotional, not me, cold heart over here.
I'm like that too.
It's interesting when people immediately think something, like, they take offense to something. I'm like, if you are taking offense to something that was generally posted, you might want to ask yourself why. Like, maybe like, do you consider yourself a fraud deep down? Like, do you realize that you're maybe not as qualified as you could be? Like, why are you getting, because I can guarantee you somebody like, I'll use Danielle because she was just recently here. Danielle, who works with professional athletes. I can guarantee you if she saw your post, she wouldn't give a shit because she's very confident in her abilities to work with athletes. She wouldn't care what you had to say. She'd be like, who is this guy? Who's this mostly Greek guy?
Mostly Greek. 97%.
97%.
Yeah.
That's
no,
funny.
I don't know. You know, to each their own. Like, that, I think that's what social media is, right? Like, it's good and it's bad, right? But I don't know. If people want to, I get some heat with some of my posts that I make, and I just don't care, right?
What
I have to go through it.
Give me an example of something that stands out in your mind that you got heat for, and you're like, what the
hell? Well, you know what? Like, okay, so sometimes women will take a photo of themselves, not me, mm-hmm. in a treatment room, and typically I'll just share the story on my story.
Right.
And then people are like, that doesn't look too good on you. I wouldn't do that. I'm like, what's so bad about this photo? It's just really, it's her. She's fully covered. Mm-hmm. Going through massage, mm-hmm. right? So, like, that's not professional of you. Like,
okay. These are other therapists.
Therapists, other people. I don't know. Huh? Some people I just don't even know.
Everyone's the police. Eh?
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm like, it depends on the content. Like,
the camera's not in my hand taking a photo of the person.
And that's the thing is, if the person tagged the business,
yes.
typically they do that expecting a repost because exactly. that's just the way businesses work. Like, for example, every time I get my hair done, mm-hmm. I will take a picture of the finished product and I tag my stylist and she always shares it.
Yeah.
And I expect that's going to happen. If I don't want my face on her Instagram, I don't make a post.
And you tell them, right? But massage is so,
it's different.
It's different, but it's sexualized, mm-hmm. right? Like what every TV show, every movie that has massage in it, it ain't professional, right? So I don't look at the body that way, mm-hmm. right? And it's unfortunate that, you know, treating people, you know, we don't want to discriminate, but treating men and women is very different for me, and it was in my practice, because I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get all that kind of stuff, right? Where for a guy, yes, even with consent, still you feel like, okay, I can work the neck and the pecs easy. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about that. But with a woman, it's just, nah, you're fine. Just do some stretches.
So you shy away from treating certain areas depending on what's on your table.
As a guy therapist, you I don't know if you had any restrictions like that. Like, my general rule is I do not work glutes over skin on skin. Mm. I do all glute work, male, female, mm-hmm. with consent and, you know, all that mm-hmm, assessment mm-hmm. stuff now, over the sheets or over clothing. Mm. I will never do glutes skin on skin.
It's true, though, because you... I mean, you're just hung out there at the end of the day. If someone just says, hey, you did this... Mm-hmm. and you didn't do anything, or you're working within the scope of what you should be doing, and everything that you're doing is perfectly permissible, mm-hmm. it, all it takes is someone to say something. It's really fucked up.
Yep.
Especially the way our college rolls, right? Or the way most of these colleges roll, where they'll, when it comes down to sexual abuse, as it's written in the legislation, they will publish allegations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they and even if that allegation turns out to be nothing, do you ever see a retraction on that? Or
no,
you know, never. No. Right? Not even a posting of like, this person has it's been investigated and this person is found to be in good standing with the college and did not act inappropriately. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's so easy to get fucking screwed on that.
Oh, yeah.
So I get where you take that extreme caution of like, hey,
he's not alone. I feel like there's a lot of male therapists who just want to make sure that they're extra cautious, because exactly with what you said, even if they didn't do anything wrong and they have no malicious intent, it takes one person to say like, and want to hear how easily a misunderstanding can happen. I had a girlfriend send her husband for treatment with me, and I went through everything exactly the same as I would with anybody else, just because I knew the dude slightly. I still like went through the consent, as you said. I still did. And he was coming to me for a lower back issue, right? And so I went through even the sensitive areas for him. He signed it to a glute treatment, whatever, and I did the treatment. All of my draping was perfect, because that's something I'm really good at. And after the fact, he made a remark to his wife, like, that I touched his butt or something. Like, he said something like that, and she told me this, and I was like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, ew. Why would
That's all it takes.
Why would he even say that like that? That is absolutely like she was kind of laughing it off, and I was like, it's not funny though. Like,
that's not
what I was doing. I was doing a treatment, and I explained to him what was going to happen, and he gave me consent, and he signed this form.
Yeah.
So for him to say something like that, it makes it sound like I was groping him.
But do you think he was being joking in that comment, or do you think he perceived it as, she was touching my butt?
I really don't know. I wasn't there for the conversation, but just the way that it came to me afterwards, I was like, ew.
Yeah. Well, that's why, going back to before, like I do screen my female patients. Mm-hmm. I screen both, but I will, if the female patient booked in and she wasn't referred to me mm-hmm. by someone I know or a current client, mm-hmm. I will refer them to my staff. Mm-hmm. I will not treat someone just off the street because mm-hmm. I don't know what their intentions are. I don't, and I don't care.
It's true.
Yeah, because you can do everything by the book, and somebody just has to say something that doesn't sound right.
Do you feel you have to protect yourself in the same way?
Yeah, as a female therapist.
No, I honestly, that's why I said I could see how it would be much more difficult for male therapists in that sense. I've never felt, that was the one and only time somebody said something really weird like that, where I was like, ew, why would he say that? Mm-hmm. But typically, I mean, the way I conduct myself in the treatment room, like, I'm not jokey when it comes, I would never say to someone like, I'm going to touch your butt. Like, that's, I don't joke about that. It's very professional. Yeah, yeah. And I go through all of the points when I'm talking about the treatment and what we're going to do. Like, I cover everything. So, but I mean, I do that not because I'm concerned, but just because it's so ingrained in me. Like, every new person gets the exact same spiel.
And
like,
I'm the same way.
I go through everything.
I have the same jokes. I use the same with every person. So if you were to ask one client and another client, they'll be like, yeah, it's the same thing.
I know. Actually, if my clients talk to each other, like, it's like verbatim.
It is.
When I have a new person, like verbatim, I say what I say. Yeah. I mean, other than changing up, this is what we're going to be treating, because obviously their treatments are going to be different. Yeah. But, you know, when I'm going through like getting on the table and draping and pillowing and, you know, down to like going to wash my hands and knock and blah, like it's, that speech it's has verbatim. Been so ingrained in my brain for the last 14 years that I can't not do it. Well, but I don't worry though. I don't ever think that somebody's going to like accuse me of doing anything unprofessional, because I know that I don't, but I could see how for a male you would have your guard up a little
more. It's a big concern.
Yeah.
Because anytime I post anything that we're talking about, any kind of stuff like this on the podcast, I will get a massive amount of direct messages from male therapists saying, yep, I'm super cautious. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. All it takes is one thing and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they get mad. Some clients get mad. Like, oh, why don't you do glute work? I'm like, I do, just over the sheets.
Mm-hmm. If you want something different, go see one of my other people.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Anything, my whole career, I've never done one breast massage. Mm. I don't plan on it. Mm-hmm. You need it? Okay, well, here's my staff. Go see them.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to red flag anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bring up any ideas that anything can happen. Yeah. Right? And as a male therapist, I can't say how a female therapist feels, but as a male therapist, it's just not worth it.
Yep.
Right?
Especially in a smaller community like where you're at, right?
Yeah.
That I can imagine that would travel really, really fast.
That kind of sucks, though. That's kind of limiting. I mean, I guess you figured out a way to work around it, but like, I'm just thinking about my own practice, and I do so much pec work and glue work, and like, you're limited in what you can do because you just don't want the headache.
Yeah, well, I just got, if I have to do any pec work, like I just, again, upper pec mostly.
Yeah.
I have their hand over top. I put my hand over top of their hand. I just like kind of push.
You don't even like actually like get your hand. No. Wow. Okay. No. You're like,
I will up in the
very cautious.
Up in the clavicle. I'll work up in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anything past that, like I'm talking about like an inch or two lower than that. Mm. Put your hand on your chest and I will maneuver your hand. Mm. Right. And even then, are you trying to hold my hand?
Oh my God.
No, I'm not trying to hold your hand.
Right. Like, for the record, I am never trying to hold your hand. Yeah.
Right. Well, I posted that one video of like awkward massage moments where I'm massaging someone's hand. And it's actually one of my buddies, right? Because I couldn't use a client. So one of my, and then like, you know, when you work forearm work, what happens with the forearms, your fingers will do this.
Yeah.
So I was doing that and like, it went like this. Oh, the feedback I got for that.
Oh, were people angry?
Angry. Oh, how come I didn't get that? I'm like,
Oh my goodness.
That's a funny post though.
It's my most viral video, right? It's got like 30 something thousand views. Beats my other 500 views that I get for everything else.
That's awesome.
Right. But yeah. But yeah.
So what's next for you, man? I know 28 million won't make you stop treating. So what's next on the
hit list? 29 will.
But 29 will.
29 is the number.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm working on a couple things like on the side. Like I'm going to keep growing the clinic. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to expand, hopefully, the clinic in the next year or so.
When you say expand, larger space, bigger staff? Or
the wellness part of the business I want to expand. So we have the therapists that we're happy with.
Yeah.
I'd like to get into like the wellness part. So like the beauty part, like get some estheticians in there doing the skincare, tattoo removal, stuff like that. So I'd love to get that involved in the future. Mm-hmm. Some more personal training. Get a small little gym in there as well.
Nice.
Have the trainers in there that I want that specifically do like rehab based, not just like,
sweet,
you know, let's get built muscles on you and not get you to move, right?
Right.
And then I got, you know, I'm working on a little side project again. It's like a little, I'm putting together a book. Hopefully I can get that out and released by the end of the year. But
wow, eh?
A book.
Yeah.
You're full of surprises tonight.
Well, I have two books. So my one book will be, it's a rehab book. Just like, it talks about like pain and how, what I went through in the psychology of pain. Like, oh my God, I got to drive an hour and a half to go see Mark today and Amanda. And I'm like, is my back going to survive an hour and a half of driving? Am I going to be able to pull over if I need to stretch? Mm-hmm. That kind of, like, I went through that kind of stage. That's how bad my back was at one point.
Mm.
I couldn't move. Like, if I had to sneeze, I would go brace myself against the wall.
Right.
You know, and people are coming in with like, my finger hurts. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. But anyways.
Mark can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then my other book is a joke I have with my financial guy, financial advisor. He's like, what are you going to do to retire? I'm like, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to call it The Tales of the Table.
Mm.
And he's like, what is that? I'm like, I'm going to spill all the secrets that everyone has. But before I do that, I'm going to send him an email. I'm like, if you want your name out of my book, I want money wired over here. And he goes, he's like, oh, so you plan on retiring in prison? I'm like, but rich.
I don't think we have to worry about you not doing peck massage.
Yeah, that book's not coming out though. So, but it's a running joke I have with my financial guy.
You want your name out of the book? It's going to cost you.
Yeah. The juicier the story, the better. The more money, right?
That's funny, man. But,
That's not going to happen. Don't worry.
Well, I'm glad you came to visit us, and I guess we're going to be coming to visit you.
Yes.
I've heard there's like a place in Kitchener where you can get McDonald's chicken nuggets. So I'm going to go there and buy some McDonald's chicken nuggets.
At McDonald's?
No.
Okay.
You can get a big bag of frozen chicken nuggets that are exactly like McDonald's chicken nuggets. And the only place you can get it at this is at this place in Kitchener. I have the name in my phone.
Okay.
Speaking of chicken, I tried to make Amanda watch this the other day. And this is the last thing I'll say. There's this guy's Instagram.
Why are you doing this to me again?
And all he does is...
Why do I got to hear this
again? Have you seen this?
I don't know.
He eats raw chicken. He's like, day one of me eating raw chicken.
The liver guy or whatever? Or the...
No. It's not that guy.
Okay.
But this dude, he's just... He goes on camera and he'll just eat raw chicken. Day one of me
looking sad.
Day one of me eating raw chicken. I just want to see what's going to happen to my body. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
And then next day two of me eating raw chicken, and it's just him with like a chicken.
Stop.
It's dripping.
Oh.
Chicken breasts, eating it. And then he got creative. He's like, and day three of me eating raw chicken, I'm going to make chicken parm with this. And he'll put tomato sauce on it and some cheese on it, on raw chicken, and just eat it. I'm like,
I'm legitimately going to throw up.
I'm like, this guy's crazy.
This guy is crazy.
It's crazy.
Sounds crazy.
I'm like, why are you eating raw chicken?
Yeah. It better be a good source.
No, you should see when he blends it.
Oh.
Mark.
Oh.
No. Anyway. Do you want to sleep outside tonight?
Sorry.
That's the last thing I'll say.
Get used to this couch.
Very upsetting.
I got a lot of massage tables. I ain't doing that.
That's true.
Let's wrap up the episode before I throw up. Sorry, happy birthday to me.
Yeah, happy birthday.
So go check it out. Go check out the raw chicken guy.
Don't do it.
I'll post the link in the notes.
whatever get me famous. If I got to do that, I'll do it.
Right on, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists in a Microphone. Peace.